SportsLive streamer will reward viewers with its own crypto. Binance invests in open data framework provider numbers seeking product boost. Hacker Noon is storing content on a blockchain after ditching Medium. SEC charges blockchain marketplace operator over fraudulent $600,000 ICO. Hyperledger to explore how blockchain can help world meet climate goals. Bitcoin bulls seek stronger move after bounce to $8,800 loses momentum. Digital Chamber asks court to draw line between investment contracts and assets in Telegram case. Blockchain Association sides with Telegram against SEC, says grams are not securities. Swiss banks enter the age of Bitcoin. Notes from the WEF, the coming battle between surveilled and private money. Now let's get started. SportsLive streamer will reward viewers with its own crypto. SportsLive streaming provider Sportscaster is launching its own cryptocurrency to reward viewers and encourage interactions. The company, which is backed by the NFL Players Association, announced Wednesday that it has teamed up with the FanWide platform for the effort. The new FanChain (FANZ) token will be made available on FanWide, which helps people locate local game watch parties, and given out to people checking into listed events. Sportscaster says the tokens can be earned at the thousands of sports bars on FanWide's US network and will be redeemable for cash. A wallet for the tokens, called Surprise Fan Wallet, has also been set up by the firms. FanWide has promoted over 1.5 million watch parties and is the official fan club network of teams in the NFL, La Liga, Ruby League, and others, said Sportscaster CEO Kevin April. This rollout represents one of the largest real-world deployments of blockchain in fandom, and we're just getting started. The firms hope in future to grow the usage of FANZ to local bars and venues, where they would accept the tokens in exchange for discounts, drinks, or other rewards. The FanChain website says that FANZ can also be sent from any Ethereum wallet and that the token is ERC-20 standard compliant. The supply has been capped at 600 million tokens, the site also indicates. Binance invests in open data framework provider numbers seeking product boost. Cryptocurrency exchange Binance has made an undisclosed investment in open data framework provider numbers. Announced in a blog post on Wednesday, Jin Chow, strategy officer at Malta-based Binance, said Numbers Protocol will bring developers easy access to the exchange's own blockchain Binance chain and could be used features like hardware wallet security, digital signatures and more. Numbers has developed a protocol that it says makes data open, transparent and traceable, with use cases in digital identities or supply chain traceability. It's also built an open-source mobile app that fingerprints data with information such as location, time and more, meaning the data is verifiable and can, for example, be used by content creators for monetization. The Taiwanese firm is said to have been working with the Shoah Foundation, Stanford University and IBM on data traceability. It's also worked on verification systems for HTC's Exodus blockchain phone. Numbers product is integrated with Binance chain through Xeon, a hardware-based key management system, Chow said. The HTC phone comes equipped with a similar feature called Xeon Vault. HTC has previously said it would support Binance's blockchain with a special edition version of the cell phone. Numbers co-CEO Bofu Chen said the cash injection from Binance would be used to explore more use cases for its products and speed up technological and business development. We are also working to open the libraries we built for the developer community in 2020 so that more developers can leverage our work and use the Binance chain with more ease, Chen said. Hacker Noon is storing content on a blockchain after ditching Medium. Hacker Noon is putting its money where its pen is, embedding blockchain features into its new publishing platform. Annotations on Hacker Noon's blog-styled content, with some 4 million monthly readers, will now be locally hosted on users' spare storage space, said Hacker Noon CEO David Smook in a press release. These annotations and inline comments will be powered by Era Inc. S-Gun, a decentralized peer-to-peer (P2P) database system. By utilizing local storage on Hacker Noon Reader's free CPU space, the cost of maintaining the domain drops on GUN specifically, Aras CEO Mark Nadal said in a phone interview. Both firms are working towards further blockchain feature integrations in the near future as well, but declined to comment on what this included. Nadal said the annotations and inline comments themselves will be hosted on readers' devices using GUN. Annotations will only appear if approved by the contributing author. Blockchain technology can distribute the hosting cost of running a site like ours, where people spend over 25 million minutes reading each month, Smook said. The system was first tested in July 2019 and proved blockchain systems can be used both quickly and at scale as the system serviced readers successfully for 48 hours, Nadal said. Launched in 2016 by Smook and wife Lin Dao Smook, Hacker Noon announced its intentions to leave Medium last spring, citing general sentiment around publishers getting burnt by the platform and saying they lacked general control over content such as headlines, advertisements and URL reroutes. In a March 2019 podcast, Smook said Medium offered to buy out Hacker Noon for a low sum, less than a Medium marketing professional makes in a year. Hacker Noon chose to run a crowdfunding campaign instead, ultimately raising $1.07 million from 1,200 people. Nadal participated in the funding campaign. Less dependency on central entities is essential for the internet to mature into a technology that works for the people using it, Smook said. SEC charges blockchain marketplace operator over fraudulent $600,000 ICO. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) is taking action against yet another ICO issuer, blockchain-based B2B marketplace operator. In a complaint filed on Tuesday, the SEC alleges that, from September 2017 to October 2018, Operty International, Inc. and its founder and sole owner Serhii Grybniak conducted a fraudulent sale of digital assets called OPP tokens, raising around $600,000 from roughly 200 investors in the U.S. and elsewhere. However, the defendants did not register the tokens with the regulator, which alleges that the ICO constituted a securities offering. Further, the SEC states that Grybniak and his company misled investors over the sale, making material misrepresentations and omissions to investors and engaging in other deceptive conduct during the offering. For example, Opti is alleged to have falsely touted the platform as already having as many as over 6,000 verified providers ready to use the platform. In fact, the overwhelming majority of these purported verified providers had expressed no such willingness and were not contributing content to Operty's platform, according to the complaint. Operty also allegedly claimed to have 17 million small U.S. businesses in its catalog, suggesting to investors that all these firms were genuine businesses eligible to do business on the platform. However, the SEC states, the firm had merely bought a database of entity and individual profiles. This was not disclosed to investors in the token, alleges the complaint. Had the firm registered the sale with the SEC, it would have meant investors could have been provided sufficient, accurate information relating to the ICO, the regulator says. Opti's tokens were sold via purchase agreements called Simple Agreements for Future Tokens, SAFTs, a framework once touted as being a way to avoid such regulatory actions. As such, they constituted investment contracts and, thus, securities, the SEC says. The complaint indicates that the SEC seeks to have the defendants return the ill-gotten gains from the ICO, refrain from future issuances of securities and pay civil penalties. New York resident Grybniak is further to be barred from acting as director of a public company, if the SEC wins its arguments. The SEC suggests that the Eastern District of New York would be the appropriate court venue for the case to be heard. Hyperledger to explore how blockchain can help world meet climate goals. Hyperledger has announced a new working group at Davos that will explore how blockchain can help the world meet climate goals set out in the Paris Agreement. The Enterprise Blockchain Consortium launched the Hyperledger Climate Action and Accounting Special Interest Group (SIG) during the World Economic Forum (WEF) annual meeting. Said to be the first of its kind, the Climate SIG will enable participants to share ideas and findings on how distributed ledgers can help governments and companies coordinate on reducing global emissions. DLTs are central to the creation of a global and open climate accounting system that helps integrate all actors and actions under the same planetary goal, according to Hyperledger's website. The technology may become a transparent global database to track emissions, identify problem areas and coordinate solutions, helping the world meet the Paris Agreement's goal for preventing increases in global average temperatures rising 2°C above the pre-industrial average. Group participants will consider how Hyperledger's blockchain can become an open climate project. Members will develop the mechanisms required to enable trustless emissions and climate statistics reporting, and will create the protocols and standards suitable for companies and governments around the world. Innovation and the real-world impact of enterprise blockchain are top of mind for us, said Hyperledger's executive director Brian Bellendorf. Initiatives like Climate SIG, he added, will improve understanding for the technology's use cases and broader potential. Hyperledger also welcomed 6 new members to its enterprise consortium, including the digital business consulting firm Cognizant and the University of Hong Kong. By joining the Linux Foundation and Hyperledger, Cognizant will be working with several notable organizations to advance the blockchain and DLT ecosystems for users around the globe, said Lata Varghese, Cognizant's vice president for blockchain and DLT. Some entities have already recognized blockchain's potential for addressing environmental challenges. For example, IBM has been working on a blockchain-based groundwater management solution in California, while a 2018 WEF study identified 68 different ways DLT could address issues surrounding supply chain sustainability and resource management. Bitcoin bulls seek stronger move after bounce to $8,800 loses momentum. View. Bitcoin needs to see a sustained move above $8,750 to confirm an end of the price pullback from Sunday's high near $9,200. A strong move past that level will likely fuel a retest of $9,200. That looks likely, with the longer duration charts flashing bullish signals. A break below key support near $8,460 would open the door for a drop back to $8,200 to $8,000. Bitcoin's bounce from key price support is struggling to gather traction. The top cryptocurrency by market value made a reversal from levels near $8,461 Sunday's low during Tuesday's U.S. trading hours, rising to a high of $8,793 earlier today, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. The bulls have defended the $8,460 level multiple times since late on Sunday. Tuesday's bounce was the third successful defense of the former resistance turn support of the last 72 hours. Bitcoin had dropped back at the same level on January 8. This morning's spike to $8,793 in the Asian trading hours was short-lived, and the cryptocurrency is currently trading near $8,630. Similar price action has been seen in the last 48 hours. Essentially, Bitcoin is generally trapped in the $8,460 to $8,750 trading range, and only a sustained break above $8,750 would imply bull revival. The range-bound trading is taking place following a convincing downside breach of the ascending trendline over the weekend. An hourly close below $8,461 would confirm range breakdown and signal a continuation of the pullback from $9,188, opening the door to support at $8,200 horizontal line and possibly to $8,000. On the other hand, an hourly close above $8,750 would confirm an end of the pullback and could fuel a rise to recent highs near $9,200. An upwards move looks the more likely path ahead, as the longer duration charts are reporting bullish conditions. Bitcoin created a bullish outside day candle on Tuesday, which occurs when prices close the day on a positive note, engulfing preceding day's trading range. The candle is widely considered as an early warning of an impending bullish move. Further, the higher lows on the 4-hour charts MACD are signaling a weakening of bearish momentum. The weekly chart, too, is indicating the path of least resistance is to the higher side. Digital Chamber asks court to draw line between investment contracts and assets in Telegram case. The Chamber of Digital Commerce, a blockchain advocacy group, wants a U.S. court to distinguish between an investment contract and the underlying asset used by Telegram during a 2018 initial coin offering, ICO. The Digital Chamber submitted an amicus curiae brief, a filing made by someone who is not a party in the litigation in Telegram's ongoing fight in court with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, which alleged the Messenger platform violated securities law during its $1.7 billion ICO. The chamber urges the SEC to draw a clear line between investment contracts in general, which are treated as a security under federal law, and digital assets. Without a clear legal distinction between a transaction determined to be an investment contract and the digital asset that is the subject of the investment contract, these software developers, retailers, healthcare providers, advertising companies, and others may not be able to develop or use blockchain technology without unintentionally triggering the U.S. federal securities laws every time a digital asset is used as part of their network, the brief says. The chamber does not have a view on whether the sale of Grams, Telegram's token, is a securities transaction, it added. Rather, the group's interest is in ensuring that the legal framework applied to digital assets underlying an investment contract is clear and consistent. Telegram is scheduled to meet the SEC in court on February 18 and 19 to discuss whether Grams are securities. The brief was written by Lilia Tesler, the New York head of the FinTech and Blockchain Group at Sidley Austin Law Firm. The argument echoes Telegram's own response to the SEC allegations, which insists that while the purchase agreements for the tokens were securities, Grams themselves, once issued, will be utility tokens to be used in its new proof-of-stake blockchain. In Howie, specific orange groves sold pursuant to an investment contract were not themselves securities. On the premise that a digital asset that is the subject of an investment contract is not necessarily a security itself, the asset, a commodity, may simply be the subject of an ordinary commercial transaction, the brief says, referencing the famous Supreme Court case often used to determine whether an investment is a security. The brief warns that deeming any digital assets securities for the sole reason of being recorded digitally could mean the companies operating these systems may need to become registered broker-dealers or another type of regulated financial institution or worse, subject to severe enforcement action. This, in turn, can push innovative businesses out of the U.S., the brief said. Like so many other types of assets, which will often be commodities, digital assets may be the subject of an investment contract without being a security, the brief says, hinting that Grams might not be unregistered securities, as the SEC believes, but a digital commodity. Blockchain Association sides with Telegram against SEC, says Grams are not securities. The Blockchain Association, a U.S. advocacy group uniting the industry's leading startups like Coinbase, Circle, 0x, Ripple and others, has filed an amicus curiae brief in the ongoing SEC versus Telegram case. It's the second industry's motion in as many days to support Telegram's fight against the SEC allegation it broke the U.S. securities law by selling future tokens, called Grams, for its TON blockchain to accredited investors in the U.S. On Tuesday, the Chamber of Digital Commerce filed its own amicus brief, supporting Telegram's argument that digital assets may be the subject of an investment contract without being a security. The chamber, however, did not explicitly ask the court to take either side in this litigation. The Blockchain Association's brief strikes a more straightforward note, arguing that Telegram made sufficient efforts to meet the SEC criteria, adding that the regulator's court action could harm both Telegram's investors and the market in general. The court should not block a long-planned, highly anticipated product launch by interfering with a contract between sophisticated private parties. Doing so would needlessly harm the investors that securities laws were designed to protect, the association says in its brief. Repeating long-held concerns that blockchain and cryptocurrency companies have not received clear and unambiguous guidance from the SEC for years, the brief argues the agency's litigation against Telegram makes the situation even more gray. The SEC's lawsuit also raises novel questions regarding whether companies are forbidden from raising funds from sophisticated U.S. investors, under well-established regulatory provisions, to build blockchain networks. The advocacy group cites other cases of blockchain startups successfully interacting with the regulator, namely TurkeyJet and Pocketful of Quarters, which both secured no action letters from the SEC. Kick is also mentioned, a firm still hoping for a court trial on its famous case. Engaging with the SEC is extremely costly and doesn't necessarily save companies from future actions, the brief argues. Telegram discussed its plans with SEC staff for a year and a half, provided copious information, and responded to limited feedback by adjusting the design of its transaction. Yet at the end, the SEC has sued, and the sex briefs thus far say nothing about the substance of those discussions, the association says. Forcing Telegram to cancel the launch of TON and the token issuance will ultimately harm both innovators and investors who invested in Grams. The brief continues, it would frustrate the investors' aims in entering into the purchase agreement, and would frustrate innovation by delaying the network launch. The association concludes by asking the court to reject the SEC's arguments that the not-yet-in-existence Grams were securities at the time of the purchase agreements. The first court hearing for the case is scheduled for February 18. Swiss banks enter the age of Bitcoin. Davos, Switzerland's banking industry has long been known to privately safeguard wealth, so some bankers see Bitcoin as a natural fit for the nation's financial sector. Although such bankers may still be a minority, Zurich-based SIBA Bank AG opened in November 2019 with a universal banking license and a suite of services ranging from fiat storage to crypto custody, a crypto-connected debit card that automatically converts to fiat on the backend for regular shopping and crypto trading options through the bank's mobile app. SIBA CEO Guido Bler said the bank raised 100 million Swiss francs, roughly $103.4 million, from angel investors like Guy Schwarzenbach, founder of Black River Asset Management. Schwarzenbach said the pricing for SIBA app trades, enabled by back-end API integrations with global exchanges, offered extremely competitive pricing compared to over-the-counter trades. What I am really excited about for SIBA is their upcoming deployment of a margin and lending business, including options and derivatives, Schwarzenbach said. SIBA was hardly the first Bitcoin-friendly Swiss bank. The private bank Falcon Group, for example, launched Bitcoin management services in 2017. Matthew Blake, the World Economic Forum's monetary systems lead, described crypto-friendly, fully licensed banks as an emerging trend. It's something institutions can do to hedge, he said. Likewise, the Swiss crypto startup Bitcoin Suisse has also applied for a universal banking license with the goal of offering everything from staking services to loans. We're not applying for a banking license just to be like every other bank. We are pioneers at heart, said Bitcoin Suisse marketing lead Ian Simpson. We will, of course, offer cash accounts for our clients, in their own name. We will be able to start trading crypto securities, stablecoins and synthetics, such as mini futures and products to short the major crypto assets. Crypto Bank. However, among such banks so far, SIBA offers a unique ability to hold a variety of many fiat currencies, including American dollars, Hong Kong dollars and Singaporean dollars, then instantly trade cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, Ether and Stellar Lumens. You can open an account over the phone in 15 minutes. For an accredited investor, you don't have to go to Switzerland, Blur said. There's always going to be aspects that banks are required for, and the first one is the storage of your private key. For Schwarzenbach, who described himself as a libertarian who runs his own Lightning Network node that he made using a Raspberry Pi, Bitcoin banking makes sense for the physical security benefits. He wouldn't want the risk of someone hurting him to get at his Bitcoin stash. Blur said the young bank already serves high net worth individuals and institutional investors from all over the world, excluding the United States, plus a few blockchain startups. Schwarzenbach added that open-source decentralized finance DeFi platforms inspired by MakerDAO could eventually offer comparable financial infrastructure to both the general population and the proverbial 1%. My hope is that we will be able to develop and adopt that DeFi infrastructure, Schwarzenbach said. And it is my expectation that standards will present themselves with market maturation. Notes from the WEF, the coming battle between surveilled and private money. Davos, Switzerland, when the world's leading bankers and policymakers gathered this week at the 50th annual meeting of the World Economic Forum in Davos, their interest in blockchain technology was resoundingly clear. The number one use case of blockchain technology promoted by the government is data sharing, Zhang Jiahan, CEO of the startup Guangzishu Technology, said on the sidelines of the WEF. Jiahan said her firm works with several Chinese government agencies. Representatives from some nations are watching the People's Bank of China's PBOC Central Bank Digital Currency CBDC experiment with eager anticipation. Neha Narula, director of MIT's Digital Currency Initiative, described the dozens of central bank experiments with digital assets in 2020 as inevitable. Along those lines, the WEF published a Central Bank Digital Currency Policy Maker Toolkit Wednesday to help those projects access global standards if they choose. The Bank of Thailand has made good progress on a wholesale CBDC project, called Project Intanon, Virathai Santiprabhoop, Governor of Bank of Thailand, said in a press statement. From our experience, we need to identify trade-offs between benefits from the use cases and their associated risks across different dimensions. In turn, Jiahan said Chinese technologists are drawing inspiration from the Facebook-initiated Libra project and Ethereum, although she declined to say what types of initiatives are inspired by the latter. Can we join a consortium of countries who would like to use a regional digital currency where the PBOC is part of it? She said in an interview. There's a lot of strategic thinking around whether that's a real option. Multiple efforts. Most experts at Davos appear to agree blockchain technology should be used for more data collection, not self-sovereign finance. For example, Ibrahima Gimba Saidu, technology advisor to the president of Niger, said it will be crucial for emerging economies to use digital reporting systems to avoid embezzlement and other financial crimes. My goal is to have a paperless government by 2028, he said on the sidelines of the WEF. How could any leader or government official take that money without being noticed? Cryptocurrency brings that, through the blockchain you know where things are. As with China, Gimba Saidu said his country is curious about the idea of a regional token. It may be too soon to say whether Bitcoin will be used by African nations, he added, but 15 nations in the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, are in talks about launching a pan-African currency comparable to the euro. Matthew Blake, the WEF's monetary systems lead, said a digital, regional currency in Africa makes a lot of sense, although the euro has proved that cooperative currency governance is tricky at best. While he expressed interest in watching how Bitcoin evolves, Blake was skeptical, at best, of nation-states using Bitcoin or allowing enterprises to use Bitcoin on a significant scale. Mikhail Jabarov, economic minister of the Azerbaijan Republic, likewise told CoinDesk he struggled to imagine nation-states condoning the use of a decentralized currency. While he didn't suggest it should be banned outright, Jabarov's primary concern was collecting Know Your Customer, KYC, information associated with Bitcoin ownership. He was otherwise dismissive of the cryptocurrency's potential for use cases beyond speculation and illicit activities. At least, in Gimba Saidu's case, the focus is on monitoring public servants' monetary transactions rather than all civilians. Along those lines, to safeguard who can access civilian monetary records and even passive surveillance of broader patterns, the PBOC recently filed a patent for a blockchain-based system for authorizing access to data. We're going to have a public key infrastructure, Niger's Gimba Saidu said. That's how I think we can have the transparency and traceability in place and the accountability that comes from it. All those things have to be done with independent organizations because otherwise one organization could try to grab the information or alter it. Real names. There's widespread concern about Bitcoin wallets that essentially allow secret bank accounts, according to Daria Kalinyuk, co-founder of Ukraine's Anti-Corruption Action Center. In an interview, she said Russia isn't the only nation with a state-owned nuclear power plant that is also supporting Bitcoin mining operations. This trend is also spreading to Ukraine and Moldova, she said, with Ukrainian oligarchs taking dominant roles in the local Bitcoin market. When we see a politician declaring Bitcoin, we consider him high risk, Kalinyuk said. This money can buy propaganda campaigns. There needs to be unique identities of natural persons in this data. Some of these central bank projects go beyond mere identity checks. In China, there are already efforts to use government data, everything from healthcare data to telecommunications records, to shape financial services offered by the private sector. The government owns a lot of data, Jahan said. They want to enable the private sector to be able to use them, but they don't want to hand over the data ownership. So we help the government in supporting their data sharing initiatives. Most raw data isn't recorded on the blockchain, she said. Instead, blockchain technology is used to prove the records were verified or calculated at the source, without sharing the original source. Jahan said she hopes there will be strict policies that regulate who can request and access such data. MIT's Narula mirrored this concern. I hope privacy is a central concern and that it's implemented with the Application Program Interface API in mind, Narula said. Bigger government. Even private investors from a variety of countries, who asked not to be named, were curious about central bank experiments but wary of self-custodied assets. Those who are optimistic about digital assets in Davos see them as a way to improve governance rather than reduce reliance on it. It's easier to track the whole monetary flows and then you can make better monetary policies, Jahan said. Now with a blockchain-based system, you will have a better feedback loop. She said many blockchain efforts, beyond the PBOC currency yet also adjacent to it, are targeting cross-border trade. Meanwhile, economist and Ethereum community guru Glenn Whale is busy taking meetings with politicians from emerging economies. He said he's not a fan of China's communist approach but he hopes China's collective and civic mentality can be leveraged to help pioneer value systems beyond traditional assets. Eventually we need to have less money and have forms of value that are more socially contextualized, like weighted edges on a graph that represent favors owed, Whale said in an interview. China has social credit, so in some ways they are much more attuned to the social aspect of money. In order to avoid dystopian consequences, Whale is working with organizations like the World Bank to develop the Data Freedom Act, which asserts data collectors have a fiduciary responsibility and democratic responsibility to both protect it and not flagrantly use data without consent. The document is based on providing a framework for collective bargaining, Whale said, to give civilians more power to challenge problematic situations than they would have as individuals. Speaking more broadly about CBDC experiments, WEF Executive Committee member Blake said the organization wants to lean in and be active there. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.